Today on Real Radio.
Were there divisions among them? Were they suing one another? Were they allowing sexual immorality to persist in the church? I mean, they were off the charts, a church that no pastor in their right mind would want to inherit. But here again, Paul calls them saints.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're now in the last chapter of this epistle, chapter 13. In the last five verses, the Apostle Paul wraps up his letter with an exhortation, then his final greetings. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Now, it's a lesson called Until We Meet Again.
Paul is going to make some amazing statements. He's going to make some tremendous declarations of doctrine and of love and of Christian reason. And so we look at a message entitled this morning, ending this book, Until We Meet Again. Until We Meet Again is the apostle's hopeful farewell. He's going to be en route shortly after writing this to visit them in Corinth, but anything could happen. But Until We Meet Again is clearly on the heart of the great apostle. Chapter 13, verse 9, he says, "For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. For this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction." Verse 11, finally, and here is his farewell. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." What an awesome statement. Listen, it's an interesting dynamic that's before us here in this farewell, because Paul is saying to a whole church group of people, he is speaking to those who, as you read a moment ago, to the saints that are at Corinth. He's saying goodbye to them. Church, as we've gone through these last two epistles, do they have troubles in Corinth? Oh yeah. Are they a carnal group of believers? Not all of them, but they're pretty well known for being a carnal group of believers. Were there divisions among them? Were they suing one another? Were they allowing sexual immorality to persist in the church? I mean, they were off the charts, a church that no pastor in their right mind would want to inherit. But here again, Paul calls them saints. He announces to them that they are, by the blood of Christ, declared righteous by God. This is amazing for us to remember. It's an amazing thing that, no doubt, in that church, there were faithful, strong believers. Not all had gone off the deep end. But when he uses the word saints there in Corinth, he is speaking about the entire church at large. This is hard for us to grasp. It's hard for us who are prone to maybe a very disciplined walk. I have a disciplined walk. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that I have a brutal tendency in my own life, not yours, in my own life, I have a tendency to lean toward legalism in my life. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. And so I try to manage that. I have a constant eye on my, I don't know about you, but I never meet up to the standards that I impose upon myself. That's me. But listen, I know for a fact that if I got my eyes off of Jesus, I could easily become a Pharisee. Why? Because my first 3 years as a Christian was very much a pharisaical act in my life. It's not that I was scolding everybody. It's that I was so based on works, earning my position with God. And I got to tell you, I accepted Christ, but for 3 years got a misunderstanding, not from my pastor, but from me, that this is what I got to do to keep God's love. You see, I had to keep God's love. And that is not true. That is not biblical. And so maybe you're here today. You need to, you need to listen to the fact that God loves you. There's some of you here today that you need to tighten up your walk. You lean a little bit too much in the area of, I think, what we would call sloppy grace. It's not biblical grace, but it's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. And I can't relate to that, but maybe you can. But listen, for the legalists, they need to pull away from being too hard. And from those who are just a little too lazy in their walk, they need to come a little bit more toward the center. Why is that important? Because Paul is speaking to a church just like that and calls them saints, which is very encouraging. So church, until we meet again, as we wrap up this epistle, consider with me verses 9 through 10. We're looking at the fact that until we meet again, we as believers will be glad in the Lord. We are commanded in the Bible to be glad in the Lord. Why? Because number one, there's great strength in being glad in the Lord. Look at verse 9. Great strength. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. Three very important words. The word glad here means that we have a cheerful calm about us. Paul says, so watch this. He says, we, that is Paul and his team, the ministers to the church at Corinth. We have a cheerful calm and unshakable joy. Listen to this. The word means we operate in a state of gladness. I like that. Will you mark that down? Think that in your mind. Paul, the servant of God, and his ministry team to the church at Corinth, until we meet again, know this, we have a deep, abiding calm in our ministry to you. Why? He says, when we're weak, note this word. The word weak means, in a sense, to be feeble, to be diseased. It means to be impotent. It means to be sickly or depleted. You say, Jack, how on earth can that be a good thing and a strength? You should know by now, having gone through this book, right? That when we watch this, can I act this out for a moment? Here's the Corinthian church. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Tell me stuff. Give me stuff. Talk to us, Paul. Nurture us, nurture us. Okay, they're seated, as it were. Not you. I don't mean you, even though you're sitting. I'm not talking about you. They're sitting there like a little baby bird with a mouth wide open, and Paul is the one flying around feeding them the worms, right? He's the one getting all the stuff. He has worked himself to the bone to cause them to know Jesus more. Are you with me? And here is the secret to true Christian growth and joy and a sense of calm. Is when you're serving the Lord, you are strengthened, built up. Though the outward man is perishing, your inward man is being renewed. It is an awesome, awesome contradiction in the Christian world that the more you give, the more you receive from the Lord. The more you serve, the more God serves you. He will never become indebted. He doesn't look across heaven and say, oh my goodness, angels and all the saints above, did you see what Jack did this week? Oh man, how are we going to pay him? How are we going to bless him? There's not enough. You know, listen, Gabriel, start prying up gold from the streets and start sending it down. Are you kidding me? Listen, when we labor for heaven, heaven is never indebted to us. Jesus just blesses us with more ministry. You say, well, what kind of a blessing is that? The biggest? The best? You guys, those of you who have been attending this church for many years, have you noticed over the years that if we've been faithful in a little bit, God allows us to be faithful in more? Do you know how God blesses faithful ministry? With more ministry. And listen, we get tired, don't we? I mean, look here, I'm not getting any younger. But you know what? It is a greater joy. There's a greater abounding peace and excitement about the fact that I'm tired for the things of God. I want to be more tired for the things of God. We want to do more because why? We have found out that when we serve him, there's great strength in that. And he says to them in verse 9, it's for their strength. He says, but you are strong. The word strong here is that famous Greek word for dynamite or power. It means to be more than capable, more than mighty, more than powerful. So he says, look, verse 9, he says, for we are so cheerfully calm in the fact that we are totally depleted because God's strength's on us. God's strength abides with us. Why? So that you guys can be strong and mighty. You see the win-win? Those Christians receiving, those Christians giving, win-win. This is our God. We will be glad in the Lord because, listen, there's great strength in following Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, says the apostle, and the power of his resurrection. How do you experience that? And the fellowship, being acquainted with his sufferings. How does that, what power and suffering? Yes. Paul would say, yes, bring it on. Paul would say, oh, I've learned a great secret that when we suffer, there's great power upon our lives. And look at the result. The result is being conformed unto the image of Christ. Philippians 3:10, the verse, there you go. Being conformed, shaped, molded. Think of it. Those of you who are in construction or in art, think about sanding, sculpting, shaping, molding, planing that piece of wood or that stone into the shape of something so gloriously wonderful. That's what God is doing in your life. Christian, Corinthian, Californian, it's going to be this way. God working in your life, you're going to be depleted. He will strengthen you. Your life will affect other people in the entire process. You will know the power of his resurrection in this life now, today. I want to believe I'm experiencing it now. Speaking the word of God to you. And then the next thing you'll know is the fellowship of his sufferings. The world is going to come against you. Be strong in the Lord. God never says, be strong in you. I'm not going to name the guy's name. I don't know why. He was on my TV this morning. I'm putting on my shoes. And he was talking about how you need to look inside you and draw up the strength that you have and be a champion. Oh my goodness. I don't have any strength in me. And I don't, champion of what? I don't want to be a champion. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to go all the way through to the end with him. I want to do what he did, and he served under the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have any strength in me. I've already tried that before. It's called BC, before Christ. Remember that? We already tried that. The second thing is this. Until we meet again, we're going to be glad in the Lord because we learn in verse 9 also because of his faithful provision. God provides his faithful provision. And he says, and this also we pray that you may be, Corinthians, made complete. The word complete here is an amazing word. Watch this. Especially those of you who this would apply to. I know we have a lot of law enforcement personnel in here. We have a lot of military personnel. Watch this. Before you go, listen, before you go out to the battlefield of these streets, an officer puts on their armament. They start putting on their battle gear. Before a soldier goes into battle, he puts on his battle gear. As a Christian, before you leave your house, you are to put on the armor of God. Okay, keep that in mind. Why? Because the word complete here is an amazing word. It means to be absolutely fitted out, the key word fitted out for the task. To be suited up. Isn't it awesome? Watch this. To be fully equipped, to be made totally prepared for the mission and for the venture. The word carries with it in the Greek language a meaning of being completely prepared for a great expedition. Wow. God provides. He never tells us to go out into the world and fight evil by putting a little helmet on and a cape that we made out of our mom's sheet and paint a big S on it. Here I come. No, best stay home, get suited up in Jesus, and then get on out there in the world because he has promised, as we learned last week, to go before us. He's faithful to provide. Listen, we can be made complete more effectively in the Lord by presenting ourselves for his use. So we'd be glad in these things. The Christian life was designed by God to display his son through us in this world. Do you like that? The Christian life was designed by God to display his son through the lives of his followers, through us. Jesus, listen, John 17:20, I love this. John 17, period, is one of the best chapters in all of the Bible. But John 17:20, Jesus says, I do not pray, remember, he's praying to his Father, he's speaking to the Father. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Chino Hills. That's what he's actually saying. In me, through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Isn't that amazing? That they also may be one in us. Can you believe God is saying this about us? That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you guys all hear that? I in them, and you in me, that they may be made, there's the word perfect or complete, mature. Mature, in one, that the world may know, here it is, that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Church, good night and God bless. That's enough. Look at that. Jesus said, God the Son said to God the Father, you're in me, I'm in you. They, because of faith, belief in me, are in me. We're in them. You love me. You love them. We're one. Do I need to say anything else? I'm not having a very good day. Why not? Read that again. Thirdly, until we meet again, we will be glad in the Lord, verse 10 teaches us, because of his constant care. Constant care. Therefore, he says, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. I don't want to show up and smack you guys around for being knuckleheads. According to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, I want to build you guys up. I don't want to come and destroy you, bring destruction upon you. God's constant care for us, constant. Our emotional and our mental and our spiritual well-being, you guys, must be directly connected to the Lord. Your mental health, your mental stability needs to be committed to the Lord. Your emotional stability, listen, are your emotions ravaged by worry and fret? Are your emotions racked with bizarre thoughts? You need to bring all that to the Lord, or you're not going to do well. You need to learn how to do that now. If you haven't learned, you need to do it now. You think by worrying and by fretting that somehow you have control. That is a lie of our emotions to us. It rips us off. And look, it's been well said. You don't need me to say it again, but somebody somehow 90, 95, 99, 99.9999%, whatever you worry about never happens. God is so good to us that the stuff we could have worried about, we didn't know about, then it hits us and it happens so fast that you didn't have a chance to worry about it. Would you feel better if God said, I'm going to tell you what your next 5 years are going to be like? Honestly, would you really want to know? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But don't you want to know what tomorrow holds? Nope. As long as I know who holds tomorrow, I don't need to know what tomorrow holds. He's got it. And even if I knew, how much of the stuff you and I know, we can't figure out anyway. If God said, now let me tell you what's going to happen. You know what we would say? And then, why? Isn't that us? Why? Why me? Why not us? Unless we're anchored to Christ, our lives will be tormented by our emotions and by situations. Situations connected with emotions most often results in crises. It may not even be a crisis. But situations handled with emotions makes it a crisis. Did you see what happened? Have you ever heard that before? Oh my goodness, did you hear that? 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, therefore, humble, take refuge yourselves under, hide yourself under the mighty hand of God. Isn't this beautiful talk? Listen. That he may lift high, exalt you in due time. Church, listen, this is for us. Casting all or heaving, the word is to heave, not vomit. No, not that kind. It's heave all of your care upon him because he cares for you. You have any burdens? Throw it to Christ. Throw it to him. He cares for you. And he'll carry it. Heave it. Don't vomit. Throw it. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, you will keep him, or her in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed, anchored, stayed on you, because he or she trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For Yah, that is the name of the God of the Bible, by the way. Yah, that's his name. Yah, the Lord, is what? Everlasting strength. Constant care for us. Secondly, you guys, verses 11 to 13, we look at this, that until we meet again, we will be made more like Jesus. This is amazing to me, more like Jesus. And we pick this up in verse 11, because as we grow in his example, mark that down, we'll be made more like Jesus until we meet again, Paul is saying to them. While our lives are apart from one another, we will be made more like Jesus. How does that happen? Because, listen, we will grow in his example. Finally, brethren, number one, mark it down, Bible students, circle the word farewell. That's number one. He's going to give us five statements or five characteristics of the Christian. Number one, he says to us, farewell. What does that mean, farewell? The word means to be of good cheer. To have an understanding, listen everybody, do you have your attention? Yes. It means to be understanding now that you are in a good place. I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about this church. It means to, this farewell is to be in a mindset knowing that you're okay. You don't need to panic. Very important. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is what? Formed in you. Jesus is our example. We grow day by day in that very thing and becoming more like him. That is our goal as a Christian. If you're a Christian this morning, the goal of your life is to be like Jesus. By the way, listen, you know, it's amazing. The world has the luxury right now of criticizing you and I. They've been doing it for a long time. They're getting louder. It's very funny to me. Do you guys, I don't know if you're a news junkie like I am. It's pathetic. But people enjoy attacking Christians. Why? Because they have the luxury of doing it. What do I mean by that? They have the opportunity to do it. They have the freedom to do it. Thirdly, they know that we're not going to beat them up for doing it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Until We Meet Again. It's a look at the last five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the closing chapter of this New Testament letter. Again, the title, Until We Meet Again, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series, through this New Testament epistle. We'll continue with more of Until We Meet Again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this week marks the end of this fascinating collection of studies through 2 Corinthians, and I gotta say, this series has been filled with insight for me, as I'm sure it has been for you as well. And since we've had quite a number of Real Radio listeners call in and ask about it, we've decided to make an offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. I'm going to say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of this series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now call, click, or write, just mention it by name, 2 Corinthians on the USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. Real Life with jackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.